Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here this morning. Don't forget, if you're joining us on Facebook, make sure that you comment, let us know you're watching, and we appreciate you for worshiping with us as well. If you're part of choir, don't forget about choir practice at 5 this evening, and then, of course, small groups tonight at 6 p.m. like normal. Church board members, don't forget, there's a special church board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30, so don't forget about that. If you are able to be here, Wednesday night, of course, we'll have the regular services, kids, youth, and adults at 6 p.m. as we normally do. Friday, we will be having our prayer time Friday morning at 9 a.m. Doors open for anybody that wants to come and pray. You can stay as long as you want, or you can just come for a few minutes if that's all the time you have. Totally up to you. Next Sunday, we have a lot going on. So we have our fifth Sunday breakfast starting at 8:30 in the morning. The men's ministry is going to be cooking and preparing that for us. And there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer, so please sign up if you are planning, you and your family are planning on being at that breakfast so they know how to plan for the food. And then next Sunday morning is also baby day, so we'll be celebrating the babies that are part of the church. So don't make sure that you don't miss that. Then we have for next Sunday night, because it's the fifth Sunday night, we are having a Singspiration that Marcy always does a great job with. We have a sign-up sheet in the foyer for that as well, so please make sure you sign up for that. If there's a song you want to share, a poem, you know, something that you want to share with the congregation, that's always a good time. And then after that, we will be going down to the Family Life Center. You guys did such a great job handing out the highway bags. And we are totally out of them, so we're going to be making some more of those down in the Family Life Center after this Sunday evening service, and there will be ice cream to bribe you to make the trek down there, so, you know, to help make those highway bags. So next Sunday, a lot going on, two sign-up sheets in the foyer for if you're coming to the breakfast at 8:30 that morning and if you're going to participate in the Singspiration that Sunday night. So please make sure that you check those out on your way out this morning. Don't forget to just be checking out the newsletter every Friday that comes out. There's a lot more going on in it, especially for upcoming weeks, to kind of let you know what's going on. Also, don't forget about the group that gets together and walks on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10 to 11. I had been saying that you'll be walking outside, but it's cold out today, so you may be walking inside. I don't know. It's Tennessee. You never really know what you're going to get. Also wanted to make note, it's in your bulletin for the next week, the upcoming events. For next week, that Trail Life is having a meeting, not this upcoming week, but the following week on May 1st. I was talking with Jack this morning, and May is kind of, it's hard to believe we've been doing Trail Life for a year, but May will be when we wrap up Trail Life, and so there will be three meetings in the month of May, a week from Monday, May 1st, then on May 7th, and then on May 15th will be the awards ceremony. So for anybody participating in Trail Life, just wanted to kind of give you a heads up of what the next several weeks will look like so that you can make sure that you have those on your calendar. All right, I think that's all I've got. Thank you all for being here.
Last Sunday morning was elections for our church, and I'm going to give you a brief, very brief summary of that. It is noted out in the bulletin, on the bulletin board out in the hallway. And so be sure if you want to see the more detailed listing that you look at that. For church board, those who were elected, Scott Allen, Mary Barnes, Marcy Dodson, Gail Guntz, Linda Kennedy, and Wayne White. Our auxiliary presidents, Samantha Bullock, Connie Mowry, Keisha Woolbright, Indy Eye Council, Mary Barnes, Jim Dubrow, Karen Dubrow, Linda Kennedy, Brianna Rutherford, NMI, NDI's Nazarene Discipleship International, NMI's Nazarene Missions International, Susan Boney, Karen Dubrow, Carolyn Landreth, Arlene Reed, NYI Council, Brianna Rutherford, Justin Woolbright, and Parker Woolbright. The full listing is in the foyer, in the hallway out there, so be sure and see those. Marcy.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time to come into your house and worship you. God, we're thankful this morning that when we give our all to you, that you take control of our lives and lead us and guide us in ways and directions that we could never even begin to think or imagine. And so, God, this morning I pray that you would help us to give everything we have and everything we are to you, and that we would focus this morning on worshiping a God in heaven who knows us, who sees us, and leads us and guides us and directs us. God, thank you so much for this time that we have. In these next few moments, I pray that you would be with us and that you would come and meet with us in this place in a real and mighty way, and that we would be able to leave here today saying that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
With one accord, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Praises to our God, every word of worship with one accord, every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah is to our God, every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer, yes, He is. God, my healer.
You know, I'm glad that we serve a God that is worthy of our praise. Scripture tells us that if we don't praise God, then the rocks and the hills are going to cry out in our place. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on letting any rocks cry out on my behalf this morning. So let's praise God this morning and act like we're halfway interested in being here. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm just saying I see some of your faces, and some of you look like you could be having a whole lot more fun somewhere else. So anyway, I said all that to say this. Now that you've been blessed, let's continue to worship this morning together. I think about Moses when he had his encounter with God, and he asks God to show him his glory. And God says, well, I can't do that because it would kill you. And so he tucks him away in a cleft in the rock, and he says, I'm going to give you a little glimpse of it. This morning, I don't think that we could handle God's glory in its entirety, but I'm thankful that the God that we serve is able to tuck us away in the cleft of the rock, and he says, I'm going to give you just enough to get what you need. That's what God's doing for us this morning. He's showing us his glory. And so I pray that we would just be open enough and receptive enough to understand that and to see it and not to miss it when it passes by. You know, it's easy to tuck away into the cleft of the rock, but it's a whole lot harder to pay attention to what God is doing in our lives. So let's not miss his glory this morning. Let's continue as we worship together.
I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For in this days we will sing your praise, O Lord, our God. On the third and break upon the Son of Heaven rose again.
We thank you, Lord, that we can come into this place this morning to praise you and to thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. You indeed have been good to us, Lord, much better than what we deserved. And we're thankful, Lord, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is an amazing thing to think of that because, Lord, we know how we were. We know what we were. And we would still be there were it not for Jesus. But we're thankful, Lord, that you have come. You have moved in our hearts and lives. You help us understood that we were sinners, that we needed a Savior. And that you came and you died so that we might be forgiven of our sins. And we rejoice this morning that your Holy Spirit convicted us one day and that we accepted you as our Savior. Thank you, God, for this time that we've had to sing and to praise your name. Thank you, Lord, now for this time that we have to look into your word together. And I ask you, Father, that you would bless and that you would help us this morning as we look into your word together. May you move through the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives and for the good things that you're going to accomplish as we worship you through the preaching of your word this morning. We give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to begin with verse 12 and read down through verse 16. I do want to encourage you, next Sunday is going to be a very special day as we come together to dedicate 4 or 5 babies. Aren't we glad we have babies? And 4 or 5 babies next Sunday morning, and then I'm going to be preaching a message that I thought I was going to be preaching this morning, but I got confused as to which Sunday was which. That's bad, isn't it? I think that is a sign of age, maybe. But anyway, we're going to be talking about giving our kids to God. And so I hope that you'll come and be a part of that service next Sunday morning. You need just to come to see what the babies look like. I'm telling you, it's always a fun time to see the babies. And then also one of the things that I love to do as a pastor, and that is dedicate babies to God, dedicate children to God. And so we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have next Sunday morning. So don't miss it. Be here next Sunday morning for Baby Day. Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They ask him. They're asking Jesus. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is probably one of the most unusual scenes that you're going to find in all of God's word, at least in the New Testament. Most of the time when we read about Jesus or when we think about Jesus, we see him as this man full of compassion. We think of him, and part of this has to do with our culture and the things that we have been told. We think of Jesus as this meek and mild Savior, which he was. He was those, he is those, but there is another side of our Savior. There is a side of our Savior that cannot and will not tolerate sin. There is a side of Jesus that rises up in anger at sin in the temple of God. And this morning, I want us to look and I want us to see that there are some things that Jesus wanted in the temple that day. In that physical temple that was there at that point in time. I want us to see that there are some things that Jesus wanted in the temple in that day. And the reality of it is, folks, what Jesus wanted in the temple in that day, Jesus wants in this temple today. This is for all of us. This is what we all need to hear and what we all need to live by. The first thing that I want you to notice as you look at this is that Jesus wanted the temple to be a place of prayer. To be a place of purity. Jesus wanted the temple to be a place of purity. You go to verse 12 and it says that Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the temples of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. Now, you look at this and I want you to understand, this was just a regular day at the temple. There were Jewish people that were coming in from all over the area. There were Jewish proselytes, people who had accepted Judaism. They were coming in from all over the Roman Empire. They were coming in order that they might sacrifice and that they might worship God. Now, a lot of the people who had come in from many, many miles, they couldn't bring a sacrifice with them. So there were those there in the temple, some very bright businessmen, who figured out a way that they could make money. And so an arrangement had been made that they could sell animals to those who were coming from faraway places. And others had figured out that if there were those who were coming from faraway places, that they were going to need to have money that would work right there at the temple. And so they figured out that they would set up an exchange booth and they could take the currency from where they were from. They could swap it with the currency that would be accepted there. And every adult had to pay a temple tax. That was just part of it. So you see, taxes are not anything new in our day. Y'all weren't very excited about that. We just paid our taxes last week, didn't we? Marcy does not like tax day in the office. And, we just did that. But taxes are nothing new. But they paid a temple tax when they would come. More than likely, based on what we read and what we know, more than likely the high priests were receiving a percentage of what everybody was bringing in. Like I said, not much has changed. And in a moment you'll get what I'm meaning by that, but I'm going to leave it alone, you know. And sometimes it happens when you're traveling, these businessmen who were there in the temple, they were taking advantage of these weary travelers. In other words, what I'm trying to say is they were cheating them. Some have said that the skimming that the priests were getting in that day was equivalent to $40,000 to $50,000 in our day. That's a lot of money, folks. I mean, that was a very good income. And it was in the middle of all of this that is going on there in the temple courts that day that Jesus comes into the temple. And when Jesus walks through the gate of the temple, let me help you understand, when Jesus saw what was going on, the scene was absolutely more than he could bear. He was grieved in his spirit. The holiness of this place, or what was supposed to be the holiness of that place, and the sin that was taking place inside of the temple, it was more than he could tolerate. More than he could tolerate. John chapter 2 tells us that he made a whip out of cords and drove people out. He overturned the money changers' tables. He set the cattle free. And in the midst of all the rolling and spinning coins and the noise of the cattle and the sheep, Jesus cries out with a loud voice and he says, "My house will be called a place of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." The temple was no place for cheating. The temple was no place for stealing. The temple was no place for lying or any other such sin. God had ordained this temple that they were in to be a place of purity, a place that had been set aside for God's people to come and to worship Him. A place where the sins in their lives could be dealt with. It was a holy place. It was to be a place of purity. And I want you really this morning to understand that God has designed that the temple of our bodies is to be a place of purity. He no longer dwells in a tabernacle. We call this God's house. And I understand, I've heard that all my life. But please understand, the thing that makes this place special was that it was dedicated to God. But the thing that makes this place special is that God's people meet here. We could sell this building. I mean, I'm not proposing that this morning. So don't go out of here saying the pastor said we ought to sell the building. No, I'm not saying that. But we could sell this building and somebody else could come in and do some remodeling in it and use it for another purpose. What makes this special is that you and I come to this place in order that we might worship God. I've worshiped God under an orange tree in Mexico. And can I tell you, I felt His presence there. It was the back porch of a store there in Mexico. It had chicken wire on one wall so that the animals could not get into the church. It had on the front wall, everybody that attended that church, it had their name. And on a chalkboard type thing. And if they were there that Sunday, their name got a check. And you could see everybody who was absent. Tyler, put on your notes to order a chalkboard this week. Okay, let's get a little stronger, okay? Not only was there an attendance chart on that front wall, but on the other side of that front wall was everybody's name and how much they had given that month. Ooh. Y'all think I'm kidding. And instead of pews or chairs, there were benches. And I'll just go ahead and tell you that if you sat on that bench wrong, you would come up from there and people would think you were shouting glory because they pinched. That was an awesome service to be there. There were so many of us there because the team from SNU and the Working Witness Group was there. We had to move outside into the backyard of this store and bring all of our chairs and all of the benches and everything out there so that we could worship out there. It was an awesome thing. We were there to build them a church. And it was so amazing. But that's what makes this place special. And it matters not whether we are in Crossville, Tennessee, or whether we're in Tampico, Mexico, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana, or Cincinnati, Ohio. It doesn't matter where we are, where God's people are, that's where God dwells today. And the purity of the place, now we should never desecrate this place, okay? But the purity of the place, it's pure because of the people who are here. So I want to ask you a question this morning. If you were to examine your life today, how pure would this place be? That's something to think about. You see, God's temple today has to be a place of purity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you?" You go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, and there Paul speaks and tells us that we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God's temple today is you and me. He doesn't dwell in a tabernacle. He doesn't dwell in a temple that has been built by man's hands. He dwells in the hearts and the lives of His people. Therefore, His people, the place in which God dwells, they have to be a place of purity. There's no room in the life of a believer for sin. God has called us in order that we might live a holy life. I was reading just this week, and the author of the book that I was reading said something like this. It really spoke to my heart. He said, "It is a mockery for a believer to talk one way and live another. God will not bless that life." Wow. You begin to think about that. Where does that put us sometimes? What kind of relationship do we really have with God if we're trying to say one thing and do something totally opposite? You see, Jesus wanted the temple that day to be a place of purity, and He wants your heart, He wants my heart to be a place of purity today. His praise fills the temple because it's a place of purity. The second thing, and I've already said it, Jesus wanted the temple to be a place of prayer. Verse 13, he says, it is written, my house will be called a place of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves or a den of robbers. The temple from the day of its completion had been a place of prayer. You go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 40, all the way through chapter 7, verse 4, and you read there about the dedication of the temple. The temple was a place where people would come in to pray. It was a place where they would come in basically to have their sins pushed forward until Messiah would come. It was a holy place that God resided there with his people Israel. But Jesus says that these people had turned the house of God, a place of prayer, into a place of patronage, a business place. And it basically was pushing the real meaning of the temple out the door. Someone has said that sin will push prayer out of your life, or prayer will push sin out of your life. Shall I say that again? Sin will push prayer out of your life, or prayer will push sin out of your life. You see, when you begin to look at this, and you're going to see this all the way through the message this morning, there's a progression that goes on here. A purified temple would be restored to a place of prayer. And it's the same with us. A purified heart will be a heart that can really pray. James tells us in James chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. What he's in essence saying there is that prayer in a purified heart is powerful. You see, I'm coming more and more aware of the privilege and the honor that we have as the children of God in being able to come into his presence at any time. It was said of Tad Lincoln, while Abraham Lincoln was president, that Tad came running into the secretary's office, headed toward the Oval Office, and the secretary stopped him and said, oh no, you can't go in there. And he said, oh yes, I can. My dad is in there. Please understand something, folks. At any point, at any place, at any time, you don't have to be in this place. You don't have to be kneeling. You don't have to be doing anything. And if you're driving, I hope you've got your eyes open. But at any time, you and I can come into the presence of God. And what an honor and what a privilege it is. I mean, prayer is an audience with the God of the universe. You know, I have never had a president call me and ask me if he could meet with me. I did get to go to the governor's mansion in Louisiana twice. I got to meet Bobby Jindal, who was the governor at that point in time, and he had a whole group of preachers there, and so I got to go twice to see him. But you know, I've never had Bobby Jindal call me back and say, hey, William, let's go for coffee. But I have walked into this room before, or I've walked around the property of this building sits on, or I've been in a car in Alabama or Louisiana or Mississippi or Oklahoma. I've been in a lot of places and immediately had the ear of the Creator of the universe. You see, it's an amazing thing when you think about it that we can come boldly. And the Bible tells us that you and I can come boldly into the God's presence without fear, without reservation. You see, but there's a key here. The only way that we can have an open channel between us and the Father is to make sure that the heart is where it needs to be. Amen. Good preaching. You see, a pure heart is a must if we're going to be effective in our praying. And the greatest growth that we can have as a church is in numbers. And I'm thankful that our church has grown over the past years. I'm thankful for all that. But the greatest growth that we're going to have is not in numbers. The greatest growth that we're going to have is as God's people pray and get more in tune with God. And when that happens, the numbers will take care of themselves. We should never be afraid to pray. Our prayers don't have to be pretty. Our prayers don't even sometimes have to be proper. There have been times that I have yelled at God. You have too. You're just not willing to admit it. And aren't you glad that the God of the universe understands us and knows us? And when our hearts are in tune with Him, we have immediate access to our Father. To our Father. Jesus wanted the temple of His day to be a place of purity and a place of prayer. Jesus also wanted the temple to be a place of power. Look at verse 14. It says that the blind and the lame came to Him at the temple and He healed them. Isn't that amazing? He has just turned the place upside down. Now, if you read in John chapter 2 where He says He took the whip, I don't think He walked up to people and did this. I think He was swinging. You know? I think that He probably kicked the money changers' tables over. I think there were coins everywhere, and I do believe when that money hit the floor that everybody who did not have money was on the floor grabbing for what he could get. That's human nature, folks. He set the cattle free. You had absolute mayhem in the temple. The priests are probably in the balcony looking down at everything that is going on. And in the midst of all of this that's going on, the blind and the lame are coming to Jesus. He has moved from upsetting everything to changing everything. Isn't that amazing? I mean, the temple had been a place that God's power was shown. On the day that it was dedicated, the glory of God filled that temple in such a way they couldn't even go in. I mean, the priests couldn't even go in to perform their duties because God's glory was there. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through, it says that Israel saw the fire come down from heaven and the glory of the Lord in the temple, and they fell on their faces and worshiped God. And it's here, we use this verse, and a whole lot of times we use it out of context, but it is here that we find 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." There's a progression in that verse that we better catch. I mean, there is purity there because he talks about, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin." There's purity there. There is prayer there because he says you have to humble yourselves and seek his face. There is power there because it says, "Then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." I mean, you look at this. This is a progression. It happens all the way through. And what a beautiful scene this is. Jesus has purified the temple. He's declared the temple to be a place of prayer. And then the power of God is shown as the blind and the lame are healed. I said it a moment ago. I'm going to say it again. The power of God is always, it always comes about when believers pray from a pure heart. The power of God was displayed on the day of Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating Pentecost Sunday in just a few weeks. The disciples were in prayer before God and His power, and His glory came and filled them and the house where they were assembled, and they rushed out of that to change the world as we know it. I mean, that was the birth of the church. We talk about wanting to see Pentecost renewed, but folks, the only way that Pentecost can be renewed is if our hearts are pure, if we pray and God's power comes. That's how it works. The reason that we don't see God's power so often is because we don't pray. And the reason that we don't pray a whole lot of times is because we're ashamed to bow before God, knowing our hearts are not where they need to be. I know, I got close, didn't I? But that's really the truth, folks. It really is the truth. You see, the priests watching all this happen, whether they were in the balcony or whether they were out there in the middle of it, the priests could do nothing with their religion. Please understand, the blind and the lame were always there. They were always there at the temple asking people for money because they knew people had money there, because they were coming in to pay the temple tax. They were coming in to buy a sacrifice. So the blind and the lame, they were always there. But Jesus comes. The priest could do nothing about the blind and the lame. In fact, when you look at it, Jesus healing the blind and the lame made them mad. In Mark chapter 11, verse 18, it tells us that from that point on, they sought to kill him. Nothing like being shown up on your home turf, is it? They were there every day. So were the blind and the lame. Jesus comes in. He makes a mess of everything. And the blind and the lame come to him to be healed. And he heals them. The priests had no power. They had a problem. That problem's name was Jesus. They were full of religion. They were full of sin. They were not where they needed to be with God. They didn't pray. They had no power. Shall I camp there for a little bit? Is the reason that we don't see what we want to see because we don't have the power that we need? Is the reason that we can't witness like we want to witness or like we know we should be witnessing is because we don't have the power that we need? Tell you what I'll do. I'll move to the fourth point since we don't like the third one. It was only as Jesus purified the temple, making it a place of prayer, that the power of God was displayed. And then the last thing that you find there in verse 15, it is a place of praise. But when the chief priests and the temple, the teachers of the law, saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. That's a fancy word for they were mad. Do you hear what these children are saying? "Yes," replied Jesus. Pastor Tyler and I, as we were preparing for worship this morning, and we were thinking about songs and those kinds of things, he said something that I found very funny. He said, "Have you really looked at that?" He said, all Jesus did when they asked him, "Do you hear what these kids are saying?" Jesus said, "Yep." Yep. And then Jesus quotes to them, "From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise." I've already described the scene. Let me describe it one more time. I mean, there's money all over the floor. What has not been picked up yet? There are sheep and cows. They're meandering all throughout the colonnade. The chief priests are standing there. The blind and the lame that Jesus has healed, they're standing there. They're praising God. And then the children who have seen all this go forth, they begin to praise God. And they begin to say, "Hosanna to the Son of David." What they were basically saying there is, this man is the Messiah. Everything has happened. They're praising God for what is done. I mean, here's the progression. I've talked to you about it every point. Let me go one more time. You have this progression here. You have purity, prayer, power, and then praise. It's a progression that has to occur in us. It has to occur in our hearts. You know... sometimes I go down here so I can worship with you, okay? There's not anything special about me going down there. I started that in Baton Rouge because I wanted to be able to go down and not everybody be watching me, okay? I want to be able just to worship freely, okay? But sometimes in the churches that I pastored, not just here, okay, but sometimes in the churches I pastored, when I would sit up there and I would watch the faces of people, I would say, I wonder why they're here. Wonder what they're mad at me. What have I done? Sometimes if we're happy, we should notify our face. Folks, I want to tell you, I don't want emotionalism for the sake of emotionalism. Because I'm telling you, as soon as the emotions are past, so is all everything else. But when we come together and God's presence is real, there's nothing wrong with upstretched hands. There's nothing wrong with tears streaming down the face. There's nothing wrong with amen. There's nothing wrong with praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with those things. Because they're coming from a pure heart. And it magnifies the one who we are worshiping. And it shows that something is happening within us. That the God of the universe has come to make His dwelling in this place for that moment in time. And that we are transformed. And that God is working. Never be afraid to praise the Lord. If somebody looks at you funny, maybe it's their heart that's not right. You know? We ought to praise God for what He's done and give Him glory. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? She prayed. She said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'm going to be healed. And she did, and she was. And Jesus said, who touched me? And it was at that point in time that she came forward and she told everything that had happened. What did she come forward to do? She came forward to praise God for the healing that she had received. Never be afraid to praise God. This place, this building in which we are in, is a place in which we can praise God. This body has been given to us in order that we might praise the name of the Lord Most High. Conclusion. Purity, prayer, power, praise. Those were the things that Jesus wanted in the temple then. Those are the things that Jesus wants in the temple now. Those are the things that Jesus wants in the temple now. Purity, prayer, power, praise. He wants that in your life. He wants that in my life. He wants us to be the kind of people that represent Him to a world that's lost and dying. He wants these temples to be what they should be. Can I ask you a question this morning? Have you come to a place of real salvation? Have you come to a place that you ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins, to make you a new person in Christ Jesus? Has that reached a point and place that your motives are what they should be, your attitudes are what they should be, your love is what it should be before God? Can you pray like you want to? Do you have power like you need? Are you able to praise Him for what He has done? If not, I'm glad to tell you that before you leave this place today, God can do something in your heart. He won't come in and kick over everything in your life. But He will change you. He will transform you. The Apostle Paul said, if any man, woman, boy, girl is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And the good news that I have for you this morning is that Jesus can change your life and make all these things reality in you today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for this time that we've had together to look into your word. We're grateful, Lord, for those who have gathered here in this place. Lord, you see us as we really are. You don't see us like everybody else might see us, but you see into the depths of our hearts and our minds, and you know where we stand with you. And Lord, if there are many this morning, that as this word was proclaimed, that they determined that really their heart has not been a place of purity. They can't pray like they want to. They don't have the power that they need, and they really don't have a whole lot to praise you about. I pray that in just a moment as we sing, that you, through the power of your Spirit, would help them even right where they are, or if they feel like they need to come and bow here in this altar, or if they need to get with one of our pastors after the service this morning and talk with them about it. Lord, we want today for someone's heart and life to be changed. Not because of a preacher, not because of a church, but because that's what they need in their lives. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, what you want to do. If only we'll turn our lives over to you. So now, Lord, as we take just a few moments to have a time of reflection, a time in which we're going to invite people to come and pray here if they want to, that we really take to heart what you desire in us. And we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt when we leave this place that our hearts, our lives are where we need to be in relation to you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for what you're about to accomplish in someone's heart and life this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Let's stand. If God spoke to your heart this morning and you want to pray, these altars are open. We have one who has come. And Pastor Jack, would you? Pastor Greg, would you come as well? If you want to talk to one of our pastors who are here this morning, we want to encourage you to do that. If you want to bow here and pray, whatever you need, we want you to do that today. We want you to leave here knowing that your heart is a place of purity and prayer and power and praise. Okay? That's what we want for you. Tyler, sing that second verse and then we'll be dismissed.
I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin.
We are so glad that you were in the service this morning. We're glad to have those of you who are guests with us today. We hope that the service was a blessing to you. Glad to have those of you who were on Facebook with us this morning. If you need to pray about something and you want one of the pastors to pray with you, we're here and we'd love to pray with you this morning. We're praying with these who have come. May God bless you. Remember, small groups this evening at 6 o'clock, choir practice at 5. God bless you as you leave this place today. You are dismissed.